Well, if you'll turn with me to your Bibles, we're looking at Luke chapter 19. We're looking at the first 10 verses, the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, maybe a story you know well, and we're going to think about that today. If you're following in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1053, Luke, if you're in your own Bible, about three quarters of the way through your Bible, and you find Luke chapter 19. Verses 1 to 10. This is just before Jesus enters Jerusalem. So Jericho, not too far from Jerusalem, and the last city before Jesus enters Jerusalem for the last time. And this is what, well, second last time. This is what Luke writes. He says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus looked up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. We end our reading there and we thank God for that word. Loving God, we pray your blessing over this word today. We pray that as we think about Zacchaeus, as we think about Jesus' words to him and encounter with him and the crowd's response to him, Lord, we pray that you will speak to us too. That these just won't be empty words on a page, but they will be living words. And that speak into our lives today. I pray your blessing on it and on the words that you've given me to share. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the chief tax collector, as he's called in Luke's gospel, a wealthy man, a wee little man, a man we know so well from our Sunday school lessons, from our Sunday school songs that we used to sing. The little man that everybody avoided, that wanted to see Jesus so badly that he climbed as high up that sycamore tree as his little legs would take him so he could get above the heads of the crowd so that he could see Jesus. It's a story we can probably tell from start to finish, but the danger of knowing the story so well is that we can think it's got nothing new to teach us. But this story is so much richer and so much deeper than those Sunday school stories about that funny little man who climbed a tree. Especially if we slow the story down, and we look and see what is really happening in the story. Luke doesn't tell us why Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus so badly. There are lots of reasons that have been put forward. All of them would be speculation. But what begins as a story about a man who wanted to see Jesus becomes the story about Jesus who sees a man. Where others might have looked at Zacchaeus and seen a tax collector, Jesus looked at him and saw a person. In a crowd of people pressing to see Jesus, Jesus sees, he notices Zacchaeus. I've mentioned from the front here before about the South African greeting, the Zulu word sawubona, a word that means so much more than just hello. It's a word that says, I see you. Not just physically, but I see you, I notice you, I acknowledge you, and I want you to know that you are seen. Jesus sees Zacchaeus. He notices him. And Zacchaeus knows that he is seen because Jesus calls him. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And let's pause there for a moment because, as I said, we're familiar with the story and we can always rush through it, but there's something really important happening there in what Jesus says to him. In fact, there's two important things happening there. The first one is this. Jesus doesn't say to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down here, let's have a chat. He doesn't say to Zacchaeus, listen, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, come along, walk with me, and we'll talk as we're walking. Now Jesus says to him, I'm coming to your house today. I want to come to where you are. Not only is Jesus saying, oh, I see you and I acknowledge you, Jesus is saying, I want to get to know you. I want to form a relationship with you. I want to be friends with you. I want to step into your world before I invite you to become a part of my world. Which, as far as the crowd is concerned, is absolutely scandalous. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. They're astounded that Jesus would willingly go and eat with Zacchaeus. It's a phrase that we've heard before directed towards Jesus as an insult. It's something that the Pharisees say in Luke 15. He welcomes sinners and tax collectors and eats with them. But Jesus is willing to cross those boundaries. He's willing to cross that boundary here. He's willing to go into the home of someone that the crowd have categorized as persona non grata, not welcome in this place. But Jesus is willing not just to put himself amongst the people that others shun, the people that others push to the side or avoid. Jesus wants to form relationships with them. He wants them to know that they are loved. Jesus is willing to love the stranger. Last week, Darren taught us that beautiful Hebrew word shema from Psalm 121. We're going to think a little bit more about that tonight, but there's a Greek word that I want to tell you today, a word that we find in the New Testament. It is the word philoxenia. Philoxenia. Philo, xenia. Philo means love or affection. Xenia means the foreigner or the stranger. And it's a word that literally carries the idea of loving the stranger, of showing love and affection towards the stranger. Philoxenia. The opposite of the word would be xenophobia, the fear or the hatred of foreigners or strangers. And the interesting thing about that word philoxenia is that when it's used in the New Testament, in our English translations, it is mostly translated as the word hospitality. Hospitality. When the New Testament talks about hospitality, it's talking about something bigger than good food and a warm welcome. It's talking about loving the stranger. And so hospitality isn't primarily about good food or providing a great welcome. It's about making the time and the space for people who are outside of our circle. And we've experienced that for ourselves, Joanne and me and the girls, when we first arrived in Northern Ireland. 18 years ago yesterday, when we first arrived in Northern Ireland. And we had moved into our new house on the Saturday, and on the Sunday we went to Moira Methodist Church, and Bianca was only one at the time, so at some point during the sermon, I had to take her out, and her and I went through to the creche, and there was another dad there. Andrew was there with his little boy, and we got to talking. And I explained to him that we'd just arrived earlier that week, and that I was Joanne's husband. Joanne was the youth and children's worker, the new youth and children's worker on the circuit, and I was her husband. And as I said to him, you know, we'd just moved into our new house yesterday. And he said to me, well, then you guys have got to come to us for lunch today. And then after the service, he introduced us to his wife, Rosemary, and he told her what was happening, and she was fine with that. And we went to them for lunch. Suddenly needing to feed 5 people became needing to feed 9 people. But there we were, new people into this environment, and Andrew and Rosemary invited us just like that to have lunch with them. And that's what we're seeing here. Jesus is loving the stranger. He's loving this man that others have pushed to the margins. Now, nobody had pushed us to the margins, but as new arrivals, we were certainly on the outside of a long-established community. But this is about saying to people, you're a stranger, but there's room for you here. Because hospitality isn't primarily about what we provide, it's about what we give. Our time, our attention, our space, our relationship. It's not just about having great buns. And we cannot miss the impact of what Jesus does here. We mustn't miss the impact of the love and the grace that Jesus shows towards Zacchaeus. The story isn't here to teach us that we must be hospitable and kind to strangers because Jesus was kind to them. What we need to see here is that the hospitality that Jesus shows, the love and the grace that he shows to Zacchaeus fundamentally changes him. Zacchaeus' outlook, his relationship with money and with possessions, with the poor, with people that he had wronged, was fundamentally changed because of that grace and that love that Jesus showed him. Experiencing grace reshapes the way that we see and relate to the world around us. Shouting the lost into submission will never save them. Excluding them from being a part of our community until they agree with what we believe won't save them. Because of its proximity to Jerusalem, Jericho was the home to thousands of priests and Levites. Zacchaeus lived in a deeply religious society, and yet he still found himself sitting on the margins. But Jesus welcomed him. Jesus spent time with him. Jesus got to know him, and it transformed him completely. Today, salvation has come to this house. It's a beautiful story about what the love and grace of Jesus can do when someone encounters it firsthand. But when we read the story, there's a temptation that we must be careful not to fall into. This isn't about us doing what Jesus did simply because Jesus did it. If we go around thinking, well, Jesus did this, so I must do this, and Jesus did that, so I must do that, we're bound to fail. We're going to wear ourselves out. Because it's not about copying Jesus. This is about recognizing that having encountered Jesus' grace, his love, his hospitality towards us, because once we were a stranger to him, we are changed people. The story doesn't begin by telling us to be more like Jesus. It begins by reminding us that we are Zacchaeus. We are people that Jesus saw. We are people that Jesus noticed, that Jesus moved towards. We are the ones that Jesus made room for, that he welcomed. Not because we had earned our place or because everything was right and we had it all together in our lives, but simply because of his grace. And so we should be people who are transformed by his grace, who having encountered his grace, are becoming more and more like him. Like Zacchaeus, people who relate to the world and the people in it differently. People who are more gracious, who are kinder, who are gentler, more loving to one another, more loving to the stranger. People who display philoxenia, not because Jesus did it and we must copy him, but because having encountered his grace, we've changed. We do it because we are becoming more and more like him. Having experienced the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus, Zacchaeus begins to show the same to others, to the poor, to the people that he has wronged. And as we consider the grace and the love that Jesus has shown us, what kind of people does that grace of Jesus make us? Perhaps this is the place where we then consider, well, who are the Zacchaeuses? Who are the strangers that we're not seeing, that we're not welcoming? Our thoughts might immediately go to the obvious. People whose lifestyles or habits make us feel uncomfortable, or we don't agree with them. Someone whose reputation precedes them. Someone we've been told we mustn't trust them, we must avoid them at all costs. People who are outside of our community, who don't live in our neighborhoods, who don't go to our church. People whose names we don't know. People who are out there, not here. But sometimes those people are here. Sometimes they are sitting here in the pews with us every Sunday. People we avoid because we feel that they take up too much space or too much time in our lives. Or who don't naturally fit within our friendship circles. People who we quietly hope that someone else will befriend, so it doesn't have to be us. But sometimes it's even less obvious than that. Sometimes it's even less deliberate than that. Because the opposite of loving the stranger is not always hating the stranger or disliking them or wanting nothing to do with them. Sometimes it can simply be leaving the stranger alone. We're polite to them. We're pleasant with them. We don't cause offense, but we never actually move towards them. Or it can be indifference, not even noticing that someone is being excluded, is being left on the margins. Not because they've been deliberately excluded, but because nobody has seen them. And perhaps that's why Jesus teaches us first to see Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus went looking for Jesus, and Jesus saw him. We can have good coffee, great buns, friendly welcome teams, great facilities, programs for every age group, life groups, lots of people hanging about after service, talking with one another, and still we can have people who don't have a place within our circle. And the reason is that once a community or a friendship group becomes comfortable and familiar and relationships are established, a newcomer can feel like an intrusion, a disruption. And suddenly philoxenia costs something. Because it can be easy to say that we love strangers and we're so friendly, but it's harder to say that we're willing to change something about our existing community to make room for one. The thing is, though, philoxenia, as costly as it might feel sometimes, is actually not complicated at all. It's surprisingly ordinary. It's noticing someone. It's sitting next to them, learning their name, drawing them into a conversation, noticing who leaves church quickly and on their own, and maybe inviting them to stay for a coffee, to make space in a friendship circle, make room for them at your table. Hospitality isn't about opening up our homes and putting on a great spread. That's part of it. But it's more about who are you doing that for? Are you doing it for your close-knit circle of friends or someone new? Someone that you've noticed that maybe you haven't noticed before. These are ordinary, everyday things, but they communicate the gospel of Jesus far more effectively than any sermon from this pulpit. Because people who have been welcomed by Jesus become people who welcome others. People who are loved by Jesus become people who love others. People who were once in the margins become people who notice those who are still there. Which leaves us with that question. Who is the Zacchaeus in your life? Who have you stopped noticing? Who have you stopped seeing? Who have you allowed to stay on the outside? Who are you polite towards, but you never move towards them? Because at the end of the day, we are all Zacchaeus. Jesus saw us. He moved towards us. And he made room for us and welcomed us. And that experience has transformed us. And so because Jesus has made room for us, because Jesus loves us, we become people who make room for others and love them too. Shall we pray? Jesus, I thank you that you saw me and you really saw me and you called me, you said my name. And you welcomed me. That is not just my testimony, that is a testimony for almost all of us sitting here. You saw us, you called us, you welcomed us, you made room for us in your kingdom. You made us feel loved. And God, that wasn't done just so that we could sit back and go, thank goodness I'm loved by Jesus. But it was the start of a transforming journey. A journey that would take us to places that we would never imagine, to meet people that we could never have imagined, to form relationships with people we never knew before. Once we were all new and we were welcomed. And God, what you are saying to us through Zacchaeus as we see the transformation that happens in him, Lord, you are saying to us, let's see the transformation here too. Lord, we are a big church. And it is so easy to get lost amongst the numbers. But God, let us hear what you're saying to us today. Let us have our eyes open and our hearts open to see who is it that is on the outside like we once were. And then give us the arms and the words to welcome them, to draw them in, to say, you might be a stranger. I might not know you yet, but there is room for you here. Through your Spirit, God, open up our eyes. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks.